Well, I desire your prayers one more time. I do want to say I appreciate the folks here letting me come, given my burden. I'm thinking about the future. It's been something that has fascinated people all the way down through time. What will tomorrow bring? They have tried to speculate. They've tried to look into the stars to find out. People have guessed at it, prophesied of it, made predictions about it. Now, every once in a while, I'll still see where they write and said somebody predicted something. Saw a little cartoon to where had this Christian was saying, had a Bible, and said that the Bible says that the world's going to come to an end one of these days. And they had this group of people just standing and laughing that the world was coming to an end. And then over in the next caption, they had a prediction from the Mayan calendar that said that the world was going to end. And all these people, the same people, was, oh no, the world's going to end. Try to believe one but won't believe the other. But people have been fascinated by the future and trying to predict it and what's going to happen. What the Lord has something, I think, to say about it to us today. It's in His hands. And the Lord never wanted His people to get wrapped up in to the future. He wants us to live for Him day by day. That's what the Lord desires, that we would be ready to meet God at any given time. He wants us to live that way. Start with a scripture in the 7th chapter of Matthew. A very familiar scripture. It says, take therefore, 34th verse, 7th, or 6th chapter, I'm sorry, 6 and 34 of Matthew. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now I know that the Lord isn't telling us that we shouldn't have any consideration for the day, tomorrow. We all do in one manner or another. I have a wood rack. I burn wood at my home for heat, and I have a wood rack there. And when it gets down close to empty, I think about tomorrow. And when I go get some, we usually get enough to do for about a week. So I'm taking into account the days after that and the days after that. And if they don't come for me, I ain't out that much but putting wood in there. The Lord's not saying for us not to consider life and what's going to happen. It's prudent for us to put seeds in the ground. That's to have a thought for tomorrow. You didn't get nothing out of putting them in. You got to wait for them, the time to happen. So He's not talking about that, but He is talking about the worried and the anxiousness that we can get in life about what's going to happen. And I know a lot of people that have really been fretting and worrying and wondering what's going to happen in our world. What are we going to have to face? And those kind of things. And I want you to know today that God still sits on His throne. I want to leave that with you. That the Lord wants us to be a people that's steady and calm and sure. Not that I know the events of tomorrow, but I know the one that knows the events of tomorrow. I've got trust in one. I don't know what the song says. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one that holds it. I know the one that holds my hand. I know the one that takes care of tomorrow. That's a faith. Folks, that's a faith in God. To realize that He does hold all of tomorrow. It's His. Take no thought for the morrow. Let the morrow take the thought of the things of itself. Because sufficient for the day. In other words, this day will have enough in it challenges. It will have enough to deal with it without worrying what might be tomorrow and might not be tomorrow. Don't worry about it, he's saying. Don't worry about it. There's a conflict between worrying and faith in God. If I have faith in God, I know it's going to be okay. If I have faith in God, I know that He holds no matter what it is. I haven't here to say that something bad's not going to happen tomorrow, but I know that God's able to take care of the bad things that happen tomorrow. It's having faith in God that's important. So as we go on, our life, starting after this revival's over, is going to, for most of us, I would say, Lord willing, we're going to live one day after another through the rest of our life. We're going to have to face one day after another. Each day on top of another is going to build the rest of our lives. And the Lord wants us to get a solid faith in God that the world's news doesn't affect. It may concern us. It may put us to prayer. But it should never shake our foundation of a God that is able to take care of everything in our lives. We are, for this time and for this place, God has made us. He has put us here by His will and by His great mind. He's placed us here in this time, and this is our time to shine out with confidence, with calmness, with the surety that this day belongs to God and tomorrow belongs to God too. The future is in His hand. Somebody starts coming along and saying they can tell me about the future. I don't listen much about it. I know the one that knows the future. He's proven that over and over, and He knows the future. He knows it personally for us too. I want to look at a scripture in Proverbs. This was quite a challenging thought to me. It says in the 24th verse of the 20th chapter of Proverbs, it says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Man's goings are of the Lord. You believe in providence? Do you believe that God has set things to be? It said man's goings are of the Lord. As I pondered that, I started realizing something. Do you know how the smallest of things can affect my life today? You know how the smallest of things could affect my life? If somebody's car stalls out there in that gate, and I'm behind it trying to get out, and it deters me 10 minutes, can change the whole course of the rest of my life. Do you know how little, if it stops me 15 seconds, it can change the whole course of my whole life. How many would be willing to say that you've made your own life? That your choices and what you've done, our choices are very important in life. But do you know that besides all that, God still has a certain providence? This scripture says, man's goings are of the Lord. All man's goings are of the Lord. We are here. We are affected by things. Think of this. I'll give you a little bit of my personal life. My life has totally changed from what I thought it would be. Totally. I was going along one time. My first wife and I was going along, and we had our four children. We was going along, and things was a certain way. This scripture says the goings of man, they're of the Lord. I didn't change that course I was on. And had it not have changed, I would have been totally different than what I am now. Totally. Things in my life would have been totally different. That was God. It wasn't me. God appoints things for people's lives. It just is true. God is in all of our lives. And I am glad that God's in the ways of our life. Do you ever think of those kind of things? I've heard people testify before. up home, some of them testified, and they testified how close they was to dying when they was little. And then sometimes someone's mother is testifying that when their child was little, they just almost lost them. And they just almost died. And I look at that and say, and if they had died, they wouldn't have married the wife that they married. And they wouldn't have had the children that they've had. And then the other ones wouldn't have married the children they had. So everybody's life is intertwined and all of it is set together. And the ways of the goings of man are the Lord's. And in all of that, you and I can't predict it. We can't challenge it. We can't change it. We can't do anything about it. A certain amount of it is in the Lord. And we've got to surrender ourselves and submit ourselves into the will of God. Because it's God that's willed it. God that's done it. We like to think of the what ifs. Well, what if this hadn't have happened? Well, it did happen. So there are no wonders or what ifs about it. God is in control of it. It says that man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? How then can you say that I'm going to accomplish something? How can you say that I can understand what I'm going to do or what I'm going to be or how I'm going to do that or accomplish that? I would have never ever dreamed in all my growing up years that there would be a time that I would stand in 2013 on the 7th day of April, be standing in Oklahoma City talking to a group and standing up in front of people and talking to a people would have been the farthest thing from any imagination I could have ever have had or ever have wanted. I never could have considered such a thing as that. That would have been totally ridiculous in my mind. And yet God's maneuvering, God's placing things in its place, putting it in its place, has got me here at this place and time. Surely man's goings are of the Lord. It encourages me today to know that God can speak and it will happen. God can command and it will happen. The scripture teaches that God can speak to the king and he can change his mind. God can speak to the rulers. God can manipulate the things in life. God can change the orders of life in a way that we can never know or know why or how it's ever happened. And it comes to that. And many times we will say, well, if that hadn't happened or if this didn't happen or if this or that, but it did and here you are. And that's all God's doings. But we do have a part that I would like to consider with this in our encouragement to the future for us to realize God knows how to preserve you. God knows how to keep you. God knows how to get you to where He wants you to go. But there is a place for us too. We need to surrender ourselves to that providence of God. And instead of the fighting of it and the fussing of it and the way that it looks like I'm going to say, Lord, have your way in my life. 2013, have your way, Lord, for a bigger purpose. Now, Brother Curtis isn't here. And by chance, he will never hear this message of me saying it. But I'm going to say this about him. I appreciate Brother Curtis. Not that he's done it. He's just somebody that's living for the Lord. But I'm going to say this about him. He was willing to say yes to the Lord and allow the Lord to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. And out of that, God bringing him to that place, God was able to show people around him that there is a God. That maneuvering of God was also put in there with the will of a man saying, Lord, I want your providence. I will accept it. Lord, I want to go the way of God. Use my life to do that. And almost always out of hardness, out of difficulties, out of hard places, something comes that's beautiful. It is the idea of Jesus saying, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. It rots. It deteriorates. It gets slick. It's ugly. It smells. It falls. But it germinates. It grows. And out of that comes life that's beautiful. So it is most of the time in our lives around us. God is in the works of man. God one time had a man, a young lad, named Joseph. Joseph didn't do anything wrong. God made Joseph the way he was made. God gave him an ability to dream and understand the dreams. He gave him an understanding of it. That isn't from his own mind. God did something for him. God put him in that place. In God's great mind and providence, God had a plan that through all of this, eventually would come a Savior into the world. Do you realize that Joseph was only a part to play that would bring the children of Israel down, and through that heritage would come the Savior to the world? That was God's plan all the way down. And He had somebody there that He counted on, that He put him through something. It was God's providence that it happened the way He put the circumstances for Joseph to be into that place. I wouldn't want to have went through what Joseph went through. But it was glorious at its end. It was God all the way. Well, you say, I could see him being exalted and being God, but I couldn't see him being thrown into that well being a God. That was God. Providence. The providence of God had put him in there so that he could get out of there. It was the providence of God that made it the way it was to start with. God had a plan for Joseph. Isn't that encouraging today? What is tomorrow hold? A plan of God for you. That's what it is. That's what it is. Oh, accept that plan. Say yes, Lord, to the plan. Lord, whatever you have in mind for me, let me accept that plan. Let me not kick against it or struggle against it, but let me go on with that plan. He's always right. The goings of the Lord, the goings of man is the doings of the Lord. It is the Lord's way. What little thing could beset you today? You may have planned that you're going to go home and kick your feet up today, but you don't know you're going to go home and kick your feet up today. You don't know what providence might be in your way. I'll say to anybody here, no matter what you think about it, you might end up somewhere where you don't want to be today. And you don't have any say over it if God wants to do it. You'll end up there. The best way to do it is end up there with your hand raised saying, Thy will be done. Lord, Thy will be done. Let me go the way of the Lord. Lord, make my path and make the path of the righteous shine more and more. Take me down the path that You've chosen for me. Because to be honest with you, in my mind, I have a plan for the day. I know what I would like to do today, but it don't mean that's what I'm going to do, because the goings of man is the doings of the Lord. And who can understand what can change the path? I know there's some here that remembers, and I know there's at least one here that remembers it real well. Because the first time I was ever here in meeting one night, the Lord gave me a message here on hindrances. And I was never so hindered trying to preach a message as I was trying to preach the message on being hindered. Because a certain sister and her family got swiped out there in front of the chapel. And there was a big deal going on, and all the commotions and the emotions and all that was going on. And we went ahead and gone with service, and I was trying to preach. And every time a phone would ring, everybody's head had turned. And somebody would come in the door, everybody's head would turn. And I was trying to preach, and there was no attention and all those things. And I know this. You don't know what you're going to face in any given time. I remember at home one time, and Shana, Brother Tony's daughter, and Andrea, another daughter, was going to Elkins, and she lost control of her car, and it went up, I think, on a hill and flopped and rolled over, And we got the call that they was in a bad accident there. Thank God that they was okay. But I remember thinking how quickly life changes. Just in a moment, all that I was sitting there thinking, Lord, help them to be okay. You know what tragedy that'd be if one of them's hurt bad or dies, or what could happen here? It would be awful. All these things I was thinking in my mind, and in an instant, my day was going a certain way, and in an instant, it changed just like that. One pretty September day, I got up and went down the Greenbrier River, and the leaves was beginning to turn and fall into the water, and I had my fishing stuff, and I was going down the river fishing for smallmouth bass, and I was waiting, and the water was cool, but it was nice to be in, and I was waiting down the river and thinking the sun was up. It was so pretty, sparkling on the water, and I was thinking, this is so pretty going down through here, and the colored leaves and all those things. And I come back to the chapel that day and heard that the towers had been hit in New York City, and the whole thing changed, and what people's lives was like, and I thought, what a contrast. I was experiencing a little bit of God's heaven there to me. It was just so beautiful being down there and meditating. It was such a lovely morning. Then to come and find the evil that hit there. I wonder if they slipped by the Lord that day. Did them terrorists have it planned at a time that the Lord was going to turn his head? Did they have it planned at a time that God wouldn't know what they was doing? This scripture says, man's goings are of the Lord. He allows all those kind of things to take place too. Joseph was carried into captivity, and we all know this story. He was carried into captivity, and you'd like to think that it got better, but it got worse before it got better. Joseph went down there as a very faithful man, and he was privileged. And a man, I think, named Potiphar got him, and he was a servant. And he run into some more trouble. He run into a woman. And she caused him trouble. And those that know that story without me going into that, if you was to hear the two, which one would you believe? Just knowing the nature of things, which one would you believe? Nobody believed Joseph. And there he was, innocent. And when everybody's thought and opinion was of him, was that he had something really wrong with him. And after Potiphar being so good to him, then he pulled something like that. But the goings of the Lord, or the goings of man, they're the Lord's doings. And the Lord allowed that too. That whole incident was allowed of the Lord to bring him to another stage and step in his life. A challenge of faith. And where is God? But it brought him to another place. Into the jail you go now. And in their jail, there comes a couple people into his life. By chance, you imagine that, just by chance, there's a couple guys comes into his life. By chance? Hardly. Because see, the goings of man is the doings of the Lord. The Lord brought that all to pass and come to that time. And he'll bring it the same way in our lives too. Just right when you think it's so dark. Right when you think there's no way out. There'll be a way out. Right when you think you can't do no more, you can. Because it's God's doings in it all. We know the story. Joseph ended up, the Pharaoh had some dreams. And one of the men that was in there remembered after a while. He gets out of there and forgets all about Joseph. And you think God didn't know that? You think God couldn't remember the man to say something? He forgot. It said he forgot. He didn't just forget. God wasn't ready for him to remember. Don't go around blaming people so much. Just realize that we do. You forgot about me. Oh, this. Just stop a minute. Don't quit thinking everything's about people and you and that sort of things, because God's in things. He's in things. And God brought him to a point in time, and then the Pharaoh, when it was time was right, he said, call on Joseph. Hey, there's a man that told me about my dream. Maybe he can tell you about yours too. After all of this time, persecuted, run down, put in jail, all these things. And now here he comes. He comes out of prison and is lifted up to rule the kingdom, basically underneath the Pharaoh. What a story. All of that was God's working in their life. When the children of Israel was carried into captivity to Babylon, that would have been a horrible thing. But that was all God. God had already told them that He was going to do that. And He did it. And when He carried those ones down there, there was some of them that was faithful. But yet they carried them off too. Do you realize that? Daniel was a faithful man and he was carried away captive. We like to think that bad things happen to bad people. Right? Bad things don't happen to bad people. Just bad things happen to, bad things don't happen to good people. They happen to bad people. So if something bad happens to you, you're a bad person. Daniel was carried captive with the rest of the bad people. But God was with him. Every step of the way, God dealt with the hearts of those that was around him. Over and over again, Daniel was put into that place and he come out on top of it every time. It goes on and on about those that are faithful and surrender their lives into the providence of God, into the hands of God, to lead life. Lord, do whatever you would have me to do. God intended to make a king out of David. Brother Jim White used to say he anointed Saul to be king, but he made a king out of David. He put David to the test. So what is all this about this giant about anyway? Do you know there was just a little space of time there that put David there where the giant was at? It all happened, and that was God's doings. It didn't just happen. God had brought the moments together to make that place for David that started him off on that process of showing David what his life work was supposed to be and what his life was supposed to be about. He was going to be a soldier of the Lord. He was going to be king. And God started making a king out of him. There come another time where Saul was in pursuit of him, going to kill him. And you remember Saul was in the cave and David was in there, and he comes out and there's Saul asleep. The providence of God had laid Saul right there in front of him as a test to say, what are you going to do? His men were saying, ha ha, the Lord has put him right here. Stick the dagger to him. You got him now. Nobody blame you. It's time to take the kingdom over. But David submitted himself to that providence of God and said, I cannot touch the Lord's anointed. You know what he realized and knew? That God had anointed Saul to be king, and only God was to remove him from being king. It was not David's place to do it. He recognized that place and he accepted it. He accepted the place. The temptation was there, but he accepted his place in this. That even though it's right there in my face, I am still servant to God. I am still to refrain myself and be in his providence, his will for my life. He did that. And it goes on and on for those faithful. I love the story of Esther. Esther is a story of such providence of God. You remember the story of Esther? And how Haman decided because of Mordecai that he was going to destroy. He got jealous. This man would not bow down to him. And it upset him. And so he's going to destroy all the Jews. Remember how it went? And so, I don't know, I think it was an uncle to Esther or whatever. And comes to Esther and says to Esther, maybe perhaps you have come to this moment. This is God's moment for you. She was chosen, a Jewess. She was chosen to be queen. She was made to be beautiful. She was beautiful and chosen of the king. Who made her beautiful? Who made her to be something like that? God did. For an appointed time, he did that. Gave her such favor. And he told her, he said, and it's like this. He said, maybe the Lord had brought you to this moment. But the Lord's going to deliver his people. one way or the other. In other words, it's like this. God's got a plan A. And you're a plan A. But God's going to do something if you fail to do that. God will deliver people. Because the truth of it is, man's goings are of the Lord. He will do His ultimate will. You don't have to do it today. You don't have to do it. God will give you the privilege of doing away many of the things that He wants to do with your life. He'll give you that privilege, but He's going to accomplish what He's going to accomplish. We need to submit ourselves into the providence of God. Yes, Lord, I want to follow that path. I love the story of Esther because it shows the providence of God. Haman decides he's going to do away with this, and so he starts saying, okay, we're going to build a gallows out here. We're going to hang this guy on it. See what the Lord did? Mordecai, he had discovered a plot to kill the king. And he had saved the king's life by showing that. But then everybody forgot about it. Just happened to forget about it. Just happened to not remember it anymore. But the Lord caused the king that he couldn't sleep and he was stirred. And so he started reading the books and he come on an account and he read the account of where this had happened. And he said, what happened here? What reward did we give this man? He saved my life. What did we do for him? And found out they hadn't done anything for him. Just by chance, it happened out that way. See, there was no chance in that. That was all the Lord putting it all in an order. And it worked out in such a beautiful order. If you can just picture this in your mind. Here's Haman's desire to do bad, so he's going to kill one of God's people. Somebody that's faithful and will not bow a knee to anyone but God. So he builds a gallows. He didn't know, did he? Oh, he made plans of life, didn't he? He made plans that he was going to get rid of this guy. And when it come to it, the king calls him in and said, now, Haman, what would you do for a feller that if the king wanted to be pleased and do something for a guy, what would you have him do? And Haman was thinking, boy, I'm some feller. Now, I knew I was right up there second and close to the king, but this old boy's wanting to favor me now and wanting to show the people how important I am. So I better tell him, said, you know, if it was me doing it, I'd put the king's robe on him. I'd put the crown on him. I'd get the king's horse. And I'd put that feller on that horse of kings. And then I'd put a feller ahead of him and lead that. And I'd have that feller proclaiming, this is how the king honors the guy. And the king said, yeah, that's a good idea. Glad you said that. Now you go get Mordecai and you put him up on the horse. You put that robe on him and you take off. I imagine that fellow was about shocked with the way events started unfolding here. And unfolding. And God was a-working. God was a-working. God was going to do something, you see. There's providence in it. God never was going to let that thing go that way. The mind of a man could never get it done. He thought he could do it. I'm going to tell you, people think they can do a lot of things that they can't do. It is only God that letting it do it anyway. So the story goes on. He was heartbroken. He was down and out. Happened to do that. And to this feller that he hated that guy. So then, here comes Esther before the king. Going to make him a banquet. He hands out the scepter and she comes and says, I want to make you a banquet. And she does it. I want to do it again. She does it again. Then finally, she says what her petition is. And she goes before the king and said, have mercy on us. He's going to kill us, my people. Who is? The door opens up and here comes the fellow. Perfect. God's timing was so good. This guy. What did I do? The king was... And he has to think about it, so he leaves the room. So then here comes Haman over and talking to the queen. I did not know this. And he falls over on the bed and the king comes back in. And here's Haman, what are you doing?
About that time, he's backing off. And about this time, these guys comes in and says, Haman, we got the gallows finished. And the king says, just in time. Just in time. Take this guy and hang him on it. The plan was completely foiled, wasn't it? God's providence in life. Time belongs to Him. The elements belong to Him. It's all His, folks. Don't fret for the future. It's God's. Your tomorrows are God's. This country's days are the Lord's. I know that we are going a long ways from God. And it ain't pleasing God, and it's not going to be good. But God's not going to forsake one of His trusting children. No way, no how. He's going to stay with us. He's going to lead and guide. And where it looks like we'd have to be caught up and destroyed, we won't be. He'll defend us all the way through. You can count on it. Absolutely count on it. Don't get wrapped up in what the future might look bleak and dark and all those things. Look up. Look up. Get your head up and look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's God that looks down on it. Have faith in God. Don't look at the things around and get your eyes off on it. It's God. It's God. Keep your eyes on God. Today, look to God. For tomorrow's thoughts, look to God. Lord, I know You hold tomorrow. I know You hold tomorrow. The Scripture went so far to say, fear not him able to destroy the body, but him that able to destroy both body and soul. Or they can only take the body anyway. Look up. Be encouraged that we got a time to live in, to live for God, to be faithful, to raise our children if you got young children. Many times we can be so worried and anxious because we have children and we look at the world and say, what kind of world will they have to grow up in? God's not going to forsake them either. They've got the ability. God's grace is strong enough to have in any environment, in any way it can hold true, all the way through. You can be godly in any environment, in any place. God's still God today. Oh, you remember where they looked and they thought they saw a spirit. They was in the boat and they thought they saw a spirit. And Jesus said, be not afraid, 'tis I. And Peter said, Lord, that be You. Bid me to come to You. Come on, Peter. Peter gets out there and starts walking on the water, going toward the Lord. But the Scripture says that he started looking around. And the sea was rough and rolling. And he looked, and when he did, he started sinking down. Folks, he didn't have to sink down. He just got his eyes off on what's going on. I don't think it's bad to see what's going on. I just think it's bad to get your heart off on what's going on. Because God's still God. He's still our Savior. He's still able and He's still capable. So he sinks because he didn't. But it teaches us a lesson. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You won't sink. You can walk over all these troubles of this age. You can go over all of it. I pray, and we should in our day. I'm not for it. I think it's a great mistake. There is a fight out there to make it possible for the government to acknowledge that a man can marry a man and a woman. And it's absolutely wrong to do it. It's wrong. There's no doubt about it that it's wrong. But it's coming. So what are we going to do? We're going to worry and fret ourselves about the future? Are we going to say, no, God's still in control. He's still in control of that. No matter how many abortions is done, it's wrong. And we pray for the souls of those that are involved in those kind of things. But it's still God's world. Still God's world. We look and see people with nuclear weapons claiming that they're going to start sending them to us. Folks, it's still God's world. It's still His world. A nuclear bomb could tear up some land. It could knock down some trees and buildings. It could even take my life. But it can't take my soul. It can't touch that. So, you know what? Let's trust in the Lord. Let's look to the Lord. I want to look at another scripture over in 9th chapter of Acts. I
I wanted to talk a little bit about a man that thought he had it right. But the providence of God worked on him. In the first verse of the ninth chapter, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Well, Paul thought you was going to Damascus with your letters. Right? Got me a plan. I'm going to go and I'm going to bound a man or a woman. Ain't playing no partiality. We're going to fetch him back to Jerusalem. We're going to get him for heresy. We're going to stone him to death. And that's what we're going to do with these heretics. So he's got it all in his mind what he's going to do. And there ain't no changing it. Except for he forgot about something. The providence of God. God had other plans for this man. Paul said of himself, I was ignorant, supposing I was doing the will of God. His heart was in the right place. He just had the details wrong. He thought, because of his training and teaching, that he was doing the right thing. But God's providence worked. You know, if you're honest of heart today, God will do that for you too. Oh, it might not be a big shining light. But if you're honest in your heart, God will make the event for you to be able to testify of His providence, of His hand in your life, just like He did this man. He had chose Paul, this servant of the Lord, to take the gospel, the good news, to the Gentiles. He knew who he was choosing. He knew what he had. And he called him. And he said to him, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it, Saul? It's hard for you to kick against it. Go with it. Go with it. The song we sang, I surrender all. I surrender all. All what, Brother Sam, as you say, all means is all. That's all means. Can't get no more out of it. It means all. I surrender all, Lord. Surrender it all to you. Take me. And when he said that to Paul, there wasn't no short thing in this. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Just what would you have me to do? And he told him, go and I'll tell you what to do. Go to the city. What would you have me to do? Continue on? Nope. I'm going to tell you what to do. You're in your life now. God's providence. I think that God still wants to work in this 2013. I think God still wants to raise up a people. I think He still wants to reach out to the souls. I think there's still a gleaning. I think there's still honest souls. I think there's people out there that's going to be tired of sin. I think there's people out there that's fed up with the way things are going in their life. There's people that need help. They need some results in their life. I think there's people out there, and God wants to have a people that He can use to touch them. And He's going to create that through us. So be encouraged. We say, well, ain't nobody getting saved anymore. Oh, look up. Look up. Oh, there ain't nothing happening like it used to. Look up. Somebody says, oh, God ain't healing like He used to. You know, I've heard that for a number of years. And yes, He is. God's still healing. He's still helping. He's still doing what He's always done. God has never, we've never used God as a rabbit's foot that you can rub and get anything you want. It's His providence that He wants. He's not trying to just, that we some kind of lucky charm. He's not something you just rub and get a benefit out of. He thinks He's got a mind. He's got a providence for you. The suffering we go through is beneficial to us. That's why He lets us do it. It isn't just an instant healing all the time. It's a laboring and working for God and coming to the place of what God would have us to be and what He'd have us to do. I was in a hospital one time and there was a lady got in the elevator with me, and I said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "I'm doing pretty good." And I said, "Well, what brings you here?" And she said, "I have a friend up in the ICU. And I said, she said, "It's a very critical situation." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." I said, what's this person's name? I think it was a woman. I said, "We'll be praying for her." And she said, "Well, that's good. I appreciate that." But she says, "I have these stones." She pulled out these three rocks out of her pocket. And she said, "I have these stones. And one of them, this white one here, I think it was a stone of healing. And this other purple stone was a stone of peace or something." And she was telling me she had these stones that she rubbed to get results. And she was confident that her friend was going to be better because she had these stones. I know somebody that made them. I know the one that made those stones that you're rubbing on. It's not the stones. We don't rub God like a lucky charm or rub it to get to what He weighs. He's an intelligence. He's got a purpose, a divine purpose. He's got a providence about things. I'm going to tell you, the Scripture is truth. It started predicting from Genesis. It started laying out predictions of life. And it predicted its way all the way through to Revelations. And it's still predicted and prophesied. And every word comes true. All the way down through, it's all been true. Everything that He predicted has come to pass right down to the last, and it's still there holding true. God's got a plan for the end of this thing. He already told it, and it's going to happen that way. You know what that one of the Scriptures said? "Will I find faith on the earth when I return?" That question was not answered at that time. I say, yes, He will. I think there will always be a faith all the way down to the end. But you know what? As is with the church, it's going to go on. But I don't have to go on with it. Lord, I want to go on with it. Help me to accept Your providence into my life. I remember hearing somebody say something about, would hate to see people going to prison for their faith. Well, they used to. They have before. And they might again. And I'm going to tell you something else. There's plenty of people in this world imprisoned across the world for their faith. Maybe not here, but in places. And it was God's providence that got them in there. The Apostle Paul was imprisoned by the providence of God. Took him there. And out of that got a good portion of the New Testament. A man named Bunyan was put into prison for his faith by the providence of God. And he stayed there for many years. I think he was there almost 13 years, if I remember right. I found out something interesting. His most famous literature was Pilgrim's Progress. And I found out something interesting about that. He didn't write that till his 11th year in there. He should have hurried. If he had been listening, maybe God would have changed it and got him out of there quicker. He had a purpose for Bunyan. But it took him all those years to get him to the place. And then he got it till he could write it. And once he wrote it, then there was a time that he got out of there. But there was a providence in there. They say that Pilgrim's Progress is the second most published book in history. You know what the first one is? This one here. Nothing's been published more than the Bible. Second to that, Pilgrim's Progress. And it took a providence of God to get these things here. God purposed that in the volume of the book it is written. He purposed. It was providence that brought us this word. It was God's will that this word be scattered out and people be able to read it. It didn't just happen. God had His hand in the production of it all the way through. He moved on men's hearts by the Holy Ghost to inspire the writing. He inspired the compilation of it. He inspired the printing of it. The printing press was probably a divine apparatus for the printing of the Bible. It was providence. One of the first things the printing press was used for was to print the Bible, that people might read it. It was providence that brought it. It was providence that 'll keep it. It was providence that brought us this far. And it's providence that 'll keep us all the way through. Fear not. Fear not. He told them disciples. Fear not. Don't be afraid. For it's I. Doesn't it help to just know that the Lord's in it? Before I went out full time in the Lord, the first trip I ever took as a minister was going to Holly Hill, South Carolina. Had an old van. And the van broke down on me. Almost exactly halfway there. And as I drifted off to the side of the road, the devil said, "Is that all the Lord can do?" And that was a big mistake, because it reminded me of whom my faith was on. I pulled over there and began to rejoice. Broke down beside the road, but I was rejoicing because I told the devil, "No," and you reminded me, that's not all he can do. And I am getting ready to see just what the Lord can do. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord did. We drove on, went all the way down. We doubled up with Brother John that was going down. I pulled the van off to had it pulled over to a station. I ended up going back home, getting a tow bar and a truck, and I went back down there and pulled the van back. I took it back to the house, and with what money the Lord gave me from people coming up and saying, "Oh, I heard you had some bad time. Well, here, Lord bless you." You know, it almost, I didn't keep an exact count, but it was almost down to the penny. When I got the van fixed and running again, I didn't have nothing left. It was all done, and the Lord was there, and I said, "Is that all He can do? Is that all He can do?" No, folks, it's not all He can do. Remember, as we go on from this meeting in the days of your life, about the future and your life and what it might hold and what might become of it, and what am I going to do, and where am I going to work, and where am I going to go, and what might become of my life? Is it going to be fulfilled? Am I going to be happy? Remember, there's still a God in control of all of that. Submit yourselves unto His hand. You pray for me.